You are now listening to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores. We are in the presidential suite of AFI. Over here in the Grand Poobah section, Peter Raber's office.
I thought we could use it instead of the basement, you know.
but we do have Peter here with us. We got Brian Brummett. Brought that one back, old school. And we've got a guest today. So we're going to actually have to, like...
We're moving up in the world here?
Well, we're moving up, but we're also going to need to behave a little bit. Because not only do we have a guest, we have a female guest, so... We don't want to get in trouble, but we've got Liz Bennett.
Hello.
Liz, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Now, Liz, you are the director of Holston Business Development Center. Yes. Some folks call it HBDC. Tell us a little bit about that place. What's going on over there?
All right. That's correct. It's HBDC. The HBDC is a business incubator. It is supported by the city of Kingsport and Hawkins County, which makes it a little bit unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I have that dual sponsorship there. We've been in business for about 20 years, and our goal is to really help entrepreneurs and small businesses grow in the area.
I thought it was really cool. I like the business incubator.
I do, too. That's really cool.
That's a really unique way to say that. And for some reason, when I read incubator... This is strange. This is where my mind goes.
You pulled out the dictionary, didn't you?
Well, yes. First, I was like, what does incubator mean?
That has a lot of syllables.
Incubator. I was clapping.
Did you see little chicks running around?
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. When I first read it, my mind went back to Jurassic Park. And well, yeah. I was seeing like the dinosaur eggs. And like these little incubators.
So do you all have to imprint on every business that starts?
I mean, I hope we do. That's kind of a good thing.
Well, it makes it sound strategic, too. It's not just growing and raising something you love. It's incubation. It's,
right.
Yeah, there's strategy to it.
Just to clarify for everyone listening, do you or do you not have dinosaur eggs?
We do not have dinosaur eggs.
Okay, so there's my idea. I want to bring dinosaurs back.
I am looking for new logo, so maybe we can, you know, incorporate the dinosaur eggs into our logo.
We'll add another county. We'll get the gray fossil site. And, yeah. You know, I'm sure there's something there.
Yeah. I think we can make this happen.
So we got, small business incubator. So Liz, how did you, kind of tell us a little bit about how you ended up here. Where have you been? What have you been doing up to this point?
Wow, that's a long story. So I'm originally from Illinois. I went to Illinois Wesleyan.
I
graduated there. It's really not that bad. I graduated there quite a while ago with a major in business administration and Japanese studies.
Japanese studies.
What made you choose Japanese studies?
I did not want to take Spanish.
That's a good reason.
No. When I was in high school, we had a foreign exchange student from Japan that lived with us. And I always say at the time I wasn't that interested, but it must have left a little mark. And when I went to college, I decided to take Japanese as my language course. Fell in love with it. Went to Japan for a two-week all-expense-paid trip with my college. Liked it even more. Studied even harder. Studied abroad. Then I decided to go teach English there after I graduated.
I need to get you connected with my son because Japan is like his bucket list. He loves everything. You know, that's where if he got to choose, you know, like a right after high school trip that he could pick, that's where he wants to go.
I would
Helps
recommend
that
it.
Nintendo Land is there and all the anime and everything else. Right. But,
sure.
Yeah.
I've got so many questions. I don't even know where to begin. But you, okay.
What was the biggest cultural shock? You move over there.
Honestly, restrooms.
Restrooms? What's different about them?
It's a urinal in the floor.
Oh, what?
That is a little
different.
So
you're different.
Squatting. Oh, my God.
Now, granted, that's not true of every toilet, but public restrooms.
You mean it's just...
In a train station is a urinal laying in the floor.
And when you say urinal, it's just a hole in the ground?
No, it's like a...
Porcelain.
Porcelain okay. urinal. And you okay. just squat over it, and that's how you use the restroom. Oh,
so okay. It's like Neyland Stadium back in the 80s okay. for the guys. Just a big old trough across the wall.
They had that at the drive-in theater in Bristol.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that
would take an adjustment.
20-some years ago, that was the biggest shock
what
I
if
had.
You, yeah, that would be a big shock for me.
I'm trying to mind my P's and Q's here. What if you had to do the other?
Same situation.
No!
Yes.
I couldn't do that.
I There's assume a story you get about to a that point, for a later time.
Yeah, I assume you get to a point where you just have to.
That would require so much balance and concentration.
Well, have you ever seen the Japanese or the Asians like squat on their back heels, like flat footed?
Yeah.
Now
so
you know why.
That's where they learned it. Man, see, you learn a lot on this show. I bet everyone listening did not know that, and now they do. Now they have something they can talk about with their friends. Maybe during the holidays at the dinner table.
Yeah, it's a good dinner table conversation.
I'm not allowed to talk about it at the dinner table.
So what about food over there?
I love Japanese food, but it is an adjustment. It takes some time to learn.
Is the Japanese food in Japan substantially different than the Japanese food we have here in
Absolutely.
America? Yeah?
Yeah.
Better or worse?
Better, but again, it took me some time to like it better. It was a hard adjustment at first, but now I would definitely
Also, were you extremely tall in Japan?
I was average, but I had some really tall friends.
Hmm.
So,
okay, that's about all my questions.
But to also put that in perspective, I did stay there for 12 years.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't finish that part of the conversation.
That's so you did adapt.
Significant.
Yeah, that's...
yeah. So what brought you back then?
So I taught English for about 9 years, and then I went to work for a soy sauce and miso company. I did all of their international sales, and I thought it would be a good addition to get an MBA. So I thought I'd come back to the States, get my MBA, and go back. But I didn't end up going back.
So how did you end up in our neck of the woods? Because that's completely different than the two locations.
That's one of those you spin the globe, put your finger on a spot, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm moving to Kingsport, Tennessee.
So when I went back to get my MBA, I actually studied entrepreneurship. Okay. One of my professors had run an incubator, business incubator there in Indianapolis. So my mentor, as it became, introduced me to the world of business incubators. Okay. I went to a conference in Denver at the time. And met a lady who runs the ETSU Innovation Lab.
Right.
She had a job opening for an assistant director. So that became my next stop in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Okay. I took a bunch of classes over at the Innovation Lab.
Did you?
Yeah, for my MBA, when they were needing some space, they used some of the empty space for classrooms over there.
Okay.
That's cool. I didn't get to hang out in it much at all during my MBA
program
there.
It's not the most convenient place to pull into.
Where is it exactly at ETSU?
Behind Chick-fil-A.
Behind Chick-fil-A. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
On West Market Street, across from the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I know exactly where you are.
It's the old armory.
I didn't know there was anything in that building.
Mm-hmm. That is the ETSU Innovation Lab, also a business incubator.
Yep.
Are there dinosaur eggs over there?
No, there's a better chance there than the HBDC.
I can't help it. I'm a child. Okay, last thing, and I promise.
Okay.
We'll divert. How do you say Josh is really awesome in Japanese?
Please tell him something that he can go tell people, and it doesn't mean
and,
that.
And yes, I'm going to repeat this to everyone, so please don't. You know, pull a fast one on me.
I won't say awesome, but you can say like cool. It's like kakui. Joshua kakui.
Oh. What about awesome?
So we learned that Josh doesn't quite fit Liz's definition of awesome, but he is pretty cool.
My husband will get mad at me because awesome is his word, so I can't use it.
Oh, okay. Kakui.
But I don't know if there's a direct translation.
I can remember
awesome,
that.
So.
Okay. I can remember that. Well, let's get on track here. You came here and you wanted to share some information about a program that you guys are taking part with. And I know that you've got a partnership with Sync Space and Create Appalachia for this program called Co-Starters, which I've read a little bit about and it seems incredibly interesting. But I would like for you to maybe share a little bit about what that is and how you guys help. And I think you would probably do a better job of explaining it than
me. I will
me.
Try, that's for sure. So Co-Starters is a 10-week cohort-based program. It helps entrepreneurs build their business from the ground up. So if you want to come with an idea or even a business that's somewhat started and you just need help with marketing insights, financial, whatever it is that you want help with, we're going to probably cover it in this 10-week session.
Okay.
So the plan is to hopefully bring in some speakers, some entrepreneurs in the area that have had experience in these types of issues, to share with the cohort and for participants to learn from others in the program.
So is it specific to certain avenues of business, or is it just like all-encompassing?
All-encompassing. Okay. Just your basic business startup ideas, plans. Everybody needs to have a financial plan. Everybody needs to have a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to have a customer base. Those are the types of things we're going to cover in this program.
So Josh and I are planning on opening up a coffee shop that we just now came to mind we might incorporate dinosaurs in, since that's a common thing between us.
Okay.
But what would our first step be if we wanted to take that idea and bring it to
Co-Starters? Co-Starters? Yeah. Just have the idea, a willingness to learn, to study some of the ideas that we give you, and maybe even pivot from some of those ideas.
Okay.
So if you think your customer base is a certain person, a certain type of person, but through our program you learn that it's not, that you need to go to a different customer base, we're hoping you're going to be open to that.
I bet that's tough.
It is.
Yeah, I could see, especially, you know, people who are kind of in the thick of their idea and really gung-ho and set on what they've got going on, to go in and kind of spill the beans to a group like you and then be told, yeah, maybe you need to look at this instead.
Well, hopefully you're going to be on board with that. That's why, right, we want that willingness to learn from these entrepreneurs who've already made some of these mistakes, who've already gone in thinking, oh, I know everything, I know exactly what I'm doing, just to find out that it's not quite that way.
Do you have people who have failed, in a sense, on their own and then come to you all?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have serial entrepreneurs, some that have been successful, some that have failed, various parts of their business plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you can bring it into you at any stage throughout.
I think
so.
Okay. I think this is going to be helpful for a lot of different stage companies, but this is my first time presenting.
Well, we are in the presence of a small business owner.
Yes.
Yeah. Peter Raber.
Well, you know, I don't think many people have an appreciation for what goes on past the idea stage. And I know, even though I grew up in this business, you know, Dad started in 91, and I've been here since then, you know, at various capacities and done everything. When Dad passed in 2019 and I took over fully, even though I had seen him do it, I had no idea the pressures of being in that owner seat and the, oh, I've got to get this filed by this date and I've got to get this done, this. Oh, they asked me to do that. They asked me to do that, and balancing time management. And it's a very hard thing to do past saying, I have an idea, it's going to make me this amount of money, and then what? And so the incubator idea, I think, is fabulous.
Absolutely.
To prepare people for what's coming if they haven't gone there, or help get them through. One of my favorite charts is kind of, it almost looks like an upside down bell curve, and it's excitement, and then there's uninformed optimism, then there's the pit of despair where you realize how much you don't know, and then you get to informed optimism and growth on the other side of it. And you bite off more than you can chew very quickly in business. And so I think, you know, programs like these do nothing but help our region, because maybe this business fails, but the next business you do, you've learned from.
Right. We're going to have a blueprint now to go forward and maybe not make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, I've always been a huge advocate of small to medium-sized businesses on a local level, because if you think back years ago, that was our community. That's what we had, right?
Right.
And those have slowly just, whether it be, you know, folks retiring, getting out of the business, death in the family, or just the business just kind of dissolved. Mm-hmm. We've seen a big shift in corporate America kind of taking over the smaller communities and business. So I think there's a lot of passion still for folks to have their mm-hmm. own business locally. But what I've seen over the years is you have people who are great at what they do, mm-hmm. right? So if you're I'm going to say a plumber because I just had terrible plumbing issues and it still hurts a little bit. It's fresh on my brain. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're a plumber, you could be an excellent plumber. I mean, you can know the business. You can know every little nook and cranny of what to do, but you don't know how to scale that mm-hmm. and make that an actual running business.
Correct.
I feel like so many people fall into that category. Mm-hmm. They're great at their specific trade and they're so good at it. People are like, you should start your own business. You should right. do this. And yes, they should. But I feel like so many people kind of just run right into that and don't really think about it until they smack that wall. And then it's, you know, discouraging because I think people get defeated
right.
once they hit that wall. So I am totally in favor of what you guys are doing. I think it's huge. And anything that we can do to help spread that word, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Do you have any success stories maybe that you'd like to share?
I am currently new in my position. I started in May okay. last year, so I'm still building those success stories. But for example, we have a lady in the office now who is printing her own t-shirts and making mugs and tumblers and things like that with sayings. She started with two suites probably June of last year. She's now moving into I don't want to mess up the numbers, but I'm going to say a 1,500 square foot facility on her own. Husband quit his job, joined her at this, doing this t-shirt show. Since she's moved in, she's grown her sales 65%.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So we're talking 6 to 8 months. So I'm hoping that's my success story. Yeah. I'm hoping that she grows.
And it sounds like you're going to have plenty more next time you're on here.
That's good. Brian, make a mental note for the coffee shop. T-shirt printing.
Well, the whole print on demand, 3D printing, everything in that space, if you're creative,
mm-hmm.
it's a tremendous opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think a lot of our technology has lowered the barriers to entry in certain industries. And
yeah, you don't have that moat anymore that you've got to get over. And, you know, if you have, it doesn't take too much to make one on your own. However, it takes a lot of talent to be able to make one that you actually want to wear.
Right.
Exactly. So,
what would you think, or maybe where do you find people stumble the most?
I would say a lot of expectations. Hey, I can get 100% of my customers to want this, or 100% of the population. That's a little unrealistic, I think.
Right.
Setting those unrealistic goals of, I'm going to get everybody to do this. Is that really possible?
Right.
So kind of, I don't want to say bringing down those expectations, but making them realistic. Mm. Maybe there are 100 people out there who could use your service, but realistically, only 50% of them are going to want the service. And on top of that, how many of those people can you actually get out and get to the service? If it's only you doing it, can you really make time to be out there for all 50 of them?
Okay.
And how scalable is that?
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So a lot of times the numbers, people are very optimistic about them and overstate them.
Do you have a lot of situations where people maybe grew a lot in the first year and they expect that
to continue
for every year forever?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So.
Well, and that's always a tricky thing in business too, because as you expand, typically you're having to bring on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of entrepreneurs expect the people they bring in to have the same level of passion that they do. And sometimes that's true, but a lot of times, you know, even if it's at 85, as you expand, you've got to get much better at delegating and being able to accept the results that you know, well, yeah, of course, you could do everything better if you did it yourself, but you don't have that bandwidth.
Right.
So you've got to find that delicate balance of working with people. And a lot of entrepreneurs, as Joshua was saying, I'm good at this skill. and I can do that skill. But we see that in corporate America too. Mm-hmm. You know, as people move into management, there's often a transition. Some people can do it and some people can't, in that they're like, why can't you do that? You know, I could do that, mm-hmm. but you can't be at all four plants. You know, right. you're now over all these people. You have to learn how to work with people, mm-hmm. not with your task.
Learn how to delegate. Learn how to understand what people are going to do in different situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's tremendously hard. So if they can have their eyes opened a little bit on the way in, that has to be helpful. Do you work at all helping people get funding for their businesses?
I can put you in touch with people who help you build those business plans for getting funding.
Okay.
I have some experience, but there are people out in the community who have better experience with that.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm just going to say it. I've got so many ideas. I'm an idea person, but I am not an execution person when it comes to, so I might sit in on your course.
There you go.
Listen, but no,
we'll send you through, and then you can tell me everything I'm doing wrong.
No, it definitely won't be that.
just gets really quiet afterward.
So when is the Co-Starter program starting, and is that is that a one-time thing every year? Or tell us a little bit about the schedule on
and
that.
The application of getting in, okay. and everything.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to start this cohort hopefully next week, February 1st.
Okay.
It's going to meet for 10 weeks on Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. The location is Create Appalachia, which is in the old City Hall building.
Okay.
So it's 225 West Center Street here in Kingsport. I'm hoping to offer it more than once a year. I'm looking at twice a year, also having one in Rogersville, as Hawkins County is part of my sponsorship. There are other co-starters in the region as well. I know Johnson City's doing one. I know that Elizabethton and Irwin have done one or two in recent years. So there are other co-starters programs in the region if this one doesn't meet your schedule.
So can they just go to your website to sign up?
They can email me
okay.
at admin@hbdc.org to sign up for the program. There is a current cost of $150. But we can work with that if somebody thinks that's too prohibitive. If that's the reason that they're not joining the course, we can talk about that.
Okay. Great.
No, I think this is awesome. Anything you can do to help the community and small businesses and help people, you know, get out there on their own and do something that makes them happy, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and we are coming up on the tail end here of the podcast, but...
Yes.
I've got a surprise I'm not told anybody about.
All right.
Okay.
And you're going to be the first person.
Wonderful.
To do this. So are you excited or nervous?
A little bit of both.
I am putting in what I'm calling the lightning round. So I'm going to ask you three questions.
Okay.
I have not prepared you for this, correct?
Correct.
You didn't even know this was a thing.
No.
I didn't know this was a thing.
I think he's coming up with this right now.
I am coming up with this right now. So I'm going to ask you three questions, okay. and without you really thinking a lot about it, I just want you to give me your answers.
All right.
And don't worry, they're not going to be anything too crazy, okay? So what are two things that you think folks would say about you?
She's responsible and works hard.
Easy question, huh? See, that wasn't too bad. What is one thing that really irritates you or your pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve lately is people leaving drinks around at random places, especially in stores. Like a can on the shelf.
Oh my god, it's so bad now.
It's terrible.
I feel really bad because I invited you into my office and that's exactly what my office looks like.
That's your office, that's fine, but I'm talking like in a store.
You're going down a grocery store aisle and like they opened the Oreos, ate six of them, and left it on the side of the thing. It happens all the time. Drinks are really bad, especially like if you go to Target where they've got Starbucks. There's Starbucks cups all over
I can see that.
Target.
That's wild.
And empty cans, like just a can of Coke, half open, sitting on...
And that's obnoxious,
It
too.
Is.
That's,
well, and one thing, if you're one of these people who does this, realize that there's people like me who has a son who has extreme... OCD type, you know, tendencies that it makes him physically react to the fact that, like, he replaces, like, if he sees a toy that should have been two aisles over with all of its friends, he has to take it back. It's a compulsion. He has to do it. We've told him that his dream job would probably be a restocker or a reorganizer at a store. But there are people out there, it triggers, and it's absolutely awful. So, yes, no, I'm right there with you on that pet peeve.
Interesting. Last question. You've been sitting over there wondering, like, what's this last question going to be the whole time?
And
I've seen
she's
it in
like,
your
shut
face.
Up, Peter. I need yeah, to know
shut
what
up,
this
Peter.
Is.
I want to know what the last question is.
Sorry, it was a trigger.
Okay.
I get it.
What is your favorite cereal of all time?
I'm going to go with Lucky Charms.
Oh, good answer.
What's yours, Josh?
Ask the question. Did you see that Lucky Charms just came out with a marshmallows only version for some holiday?
That's long overdue. Yep. That should have happened years ago.
Have you ever had Oreo O's without the marshmallows?
No. Mm.
Delicious. I mean, it's just Oreos.
This is I do have a second one. Reese's Peanut Butter.
Yes.
Oh, those are good. That's my good. Second.
Those
yes.
are good.
But those, I didn't have that when I was a kid, so I can't.
I know. The best cereals will like take days off your life every bite you take.
Well, that's it. You survived the lightning round.
Wonderful.
How easy was that? Also, we're going to let you hang out for a bit because your cereal answers were good. I'm so glad you didn't say something like cornflakes or Special K or just something terrible.
I'll throw this out. It's not officially a cereal. Just take graham crackers, crumble them up, pour milk over them.
There's a s'more cereal. Oh,
that does sound
you're
so,
good. So weird. That's what isn't that what Golden Grahams are?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Nope.
I'm thinking
nope. Like, those are way more processed.
There is actually a s'mores cereal yeah. out.
Yeah. Is there really?
Yes. Yep.
It's so good.
Well, I sure do love cereal.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, it's great. Well, Liz, thank you for coming and joining us today.
Well, thank you for the entertainment.
Yeah, this has been nice to learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing. And I think us collectively, we're 100% in favor of what you can do. So if we can be of any help, please let us know.
Yeah, and if there's somebody out there that needs assistance in getting through this program, just let us know and we'll help sponsor that. And if you need somebody to come over and be a guest speaker or anything like that, we'd be happy to be involved with the program.
Wonderful. I will sign you guys up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll look at my calendar. See what
she just rescinded her offer there.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, Liz, thanks again, guys. Thank you. And everyone, have a great rest of the day, and we'll catch you next week.